Kia ora e te whanau. Welcome back to Two Tipsy Plants podcast, where we talk plants and drink booze. My name is Sasha.
And my name is Sasha, and that couldn't go any more smoother.
Hey, I'm having half a bottle of wine.
In
the first episode, instead of the whole bottle, kind of, you know, helps you to be a bit more articulate in the next episode. So yeah, in today's episode, we will be talking all things Monstera. Yeah. So what we will do is we will have like a general spell on Monsteras. I'm not that good with houseplants, so I'll be more adding and sort of joining the conversation with Sasha, and Sasha is an expert on Monsteras.
Well, as I keep on being told that I'm an expert, sure, I'll take that cape.
Well, I'm sure you know more than like I do, so yes. Yeah. But obviously, as usual, before we start talking about Monsteras...
Sasha, what is the poison of a choice for today?
Yes, please.
So today we're having the Pinot Noir from Rosendale Winery, which is Waipara. And actually, because I live closer to the outskirts of Christchurch, this one is like 7 minutes drive for me. So that's quite nice and not... And
oh, so the grapes come from Waipara, but it's not... But
this one is the winery itself. The vineyard itself is 7 minutes drive from me, harvested from that vineyard for Pinot Noirs, but processed at Marlborough. So the name is Rosendale, and this one is 2020, and it is Lockdown Reserve.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this one is quite interesting because I went to the Stellar Door at the winery and talked to the lady over there who served us. And she's like, yes, that was a quite interesting vintage because it was lockdown, obviously, and you could not hire anybody to pick the grapes. And they had, like, the whole family just had to go out and pick up the grapes for that harvest and just send it on trucks. And I'm like, so how much did you manage to harvest from that by yourself? They're like, I can't remember. I blacked it out. But yeah.
Nice.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little homage to COVID.
Oh, I just realized that the actual bottle has the COVID lines on it. Like, you know, when we had COVID.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. Like the you know, the caution lines.
Yes.
Yellow and white pattern.
Yeah. All right.
That's clever.
Let's crack it open.
Ooh, that sound is always nice, isn't it?
Just FYI, it does not taste like typical Pinot Noir, to be honest.
Hey, to be honest, the Pinot Noir from Waipara even does not taste like typical Pinot Noir. It still has like the notes of it, but... Ooh, it's quite cloudy. Is it like organic as well? It's actually very cloudy.
Is it?
I don't know, maybe it's the shape of a glass, but...
I think it's the shape of the glass and that the glass is a little bit murky.
Ooh, Are you sure it's not organic?
It smells organic.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It does, like, I know it sounds weird to say, oh, it smells organic, but that's usually, you find this kind of aromas usually in organic Pinot Noirs.
Mm.
It's like causation does not mean that, what was it? Causation and...
Damn. That's not Pinot Noir at all.
It does not taste like Pinot Noir.
Hmm. It's interesting.
It smells interesting. It's a little bit acetone-y, like nail polishy.
Now that you said that.
But I do like the flavor. It has a nice acidity, slightly strawberry. But what hits you the first is tannins, I'd say.
Yes.
It's woody.
It's very woody. Strawberry is definitely not my favorite Pinot Noir, but it's not bad.
Mm.
Right. So I'll just do a time lapse again.
So yeah, as Sasha have mentioned prior, today we're going to be talking about the Monstera. And the best plant, I think, from Monstera family to begin with is going to be Monstera Deliciosa.
Hold on, maybe I'll do a general spill on it first.
Yeah, Sasha will do the general spiel about that.
I mean, because that's the only thing that I have. So, yeah.
Stress.
So Monsteras.
Nice, and gives me time to actually drink wine.
They are obviously quite well known everywhere. It's probably the most popular houseplant, I would say, in the world. You see, you know, you can see the leaf of Monstera and you'll be like, tropics, Monstera, love it. Did you know that there are 59 species that are registered so far? Yeah.
As I am showing her the article that I brought, which is 100 pages of...
Well, I'm not only, you know, talking to you, I'm also talking to the audience, so yeah. So, as I've mentioned, there are 59 species of Monstera. Some of the other species are actually mislabeled. Mislabeled.
We're going to get cancelled.
Mislabeled as Monsteras. One of them is the Rapidophora. Mm. Which is also known as like a mini Monstera, isn't it? Although,
sorry, not in a previous episode, I called it Tetrasperma, which is wrong. It should have been Rapidophora.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah. So because it's Rapidophora Tetrasperma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's why you called it Tetrasperma.
Yep.
Yeah. And apparently the other species is Thaumatophyllum.
Bipinnatifidum.
Bipinnatifidum.
Okay. But the difference between the Monstera and actually Thaumatophyllum bipinnatifidum, it's not it is not confused with Monstera commonly. I thought it's commonly confused with philodendrons.
Yeah, but philodendrons are also sometimes confused with Monsteras, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, that's what it says anyway.
Yeah.
So the Latin name, Monstera, obviously means monstrous, just because of the unusual shape of the leaves and also how big they are. So Monsteras are, most of them are, well, actually all of them, but you can grow them into like shrubs, but most of them are actually climbing species. Mm. So they climb up the trees or a frame if you have them in a house.
I'm yet to see a bush variety of Monstera.
No, what I was trying to say is it's a climber, but because it has those aerial roots that can support itself and it kind of can form a clump, call it that way, that will look like a bush. But no, all of them are actually climbers. They have aerial roots which act both as hooks and also they do sort of supply oxygen to the plant. Keep in mind, I actually learned it the hard way. If you have a Monstera in your house next to a wall, it will use those, you know, those little, actually
aerial
big
roots
that it grows out of from its main trunk. It will use it to hook onto your wall, actually like glue itself to your wall. And if you
rip off the paint.
Yeah, if you try to rip it off, it will rip off your wallpaper, paint, whatever you have. So yeah, keep it in mind.
Another thing that some of the YouTubers found out hard way. If you let aerial roots grow onto the floor and forget about them, it will go under the carpet.
Yep, it will just grow through the floor. Yes. So yeah, because the plants can grow so high up, the biggest Monstera can grow up to like 20 meters. That's a lot. Monsteras are actually considered to be hemiepiphytes, which means that they can be epiphytic, but they can also grow in soil. So hence, you have them in soil in your house, usually. Technically you can try to grow them as an epiphyte, as a houseplant, but your house will need to be very, very, very high humidity house, 80% or more, which I guess is achievable in New Zealand, just with the way the houses are built here, but we will not get into the political side of it. Anyway, Monsteras are native to southern Mexico, and did you know that they actually are the same variety as the breadfruit? Do you remember breadfruit from our...
Yes. Is that a good answer?
Jackfruits, breadfruits, salad fruit. Yeah. What it's known as well, Monstera, it is known as a Swiss cheese plant. It is known as Swiss cheese plant, Mexican breadfruit, fruit salad. And apparently the fruit is edible.
Yeah.
Apparently it tastes like pineapple, banana, and strawberry. However, if you eat the fruit, sort of going back to our previous episode where we talked about poisonous plants and how poisonous they can be to our pits.
The toxin kicks in.
Yeah, so if you eat the fruit before it actually ripens, you can pretty much expect experiencing sensations as if you chewed a fiberglass piece.
Quite nice.
So
that's
apparently it's very
score is like 8 out of 10.
Yeah, it's very stingy and it's very unpleasant. Fun fact, did you know that that bloody fruit takes about a year to ripen?
Mm-hmm.
Far out.
That's why I couldn't find any ripe fruits when I was in Australia.
Yeah. That's kind of the general spill that I have on Monsteras. Because most of it, I mean, we can't really talk about the natural environment that much because they are mostly found in the houses, unless you actually go to the native areas.
Which is South America.
Yeah. They can grow in New Zealand, outdoor as well, especially in the North Island.
Yeah, welcome to Auckland.
But they are a pest, considered a pest when they're grown outdoor. I'm just looking at the picture that we have on the TV as well. And do you know what the reason is for those serrations on the leaves?
Yeah. Well, you will. It's your spill.
Well, you can join in.
The reason for the serrations on the leaf is because it grows, as Sasha mentioned before, it's hemipyphilic, and it grows up the trees quite high, and it grows generally in tropics. So the winds are quite prominent in tropics. So that kind of helps the leaf not become a parachute.
Yeah.
Or a sail.
That's one of the reasons. The other reason is it allows a bit of sunlight through to the lower leaves as well. Obviously, that's not that much sunlight, but it's still enough for the plant.
I mean, the older it gets, the bigger the serrations. So
yeah. And the third reason is it allows... So same with the wind, like so it doesn't become like a parachute or a sail and rip the whole plant off the tree. It also helps the water to go through so the leaf does not become like a big bowl for water and the plant does not sink to the ground with all the heavy weight. Sasha, take over and tell us a bit more about different Monsteras.
Yeah, fun fact. I think it was 4 years ago, I wrote an article for one of the magazines, which is a little bit...
spicy.
A little bit spicy.
It's spicy for spicy men like spicy men.
Yes. Yeah. And honestly, I'm quite proud to be published.
It was
a good feed.
It was a good article as well. But hence I'm saying that you know a lot about Monsteras because you've actually done it before.
Yeah, it is my topic.
Yeah. But you have Monstera tattooed on your... It was your first tattoo as well.
Yes.
And you've got it tattooed on your...
Well, at some point I was like, I just don't have any more space in my house to grow to grow plants anymore. I'm like, I need to kind of feed that urge to have more plants. So I'm just like, I'm going to just have one on my forearm, and that should cover it. Yes. So we are talking about Monsteras and what is... I think the best plant to start off with is going to be Monstera deliciosa, which is also known, as you mentioned, Swiss cheese, fruit bowl plant.
Yeah. Deliciosa, obviously, means delicious.
Mm-hmm. In my article, I have referred to it as it plant. The plant.
Oh.
Yeah, like the plant to go for. As if you are a house plant.
It's
the hair.
Yeah.
Well, I was just doing it, not misgendering, like all inclusive. They plant.
Yep.
They plant.
Yep.
And yeah, it is a milestone in everybody's collection.
I've got two.
Yeah, that wants to fit into their monster obsession. And I think, let's dive into it. I think towards the end of the past decade, we have been witnessing the most amazing trend happening, mostly within the millennial community, of course. Plants have taken over our houses and became a statement piece and our home design.
I must agree, they do soften all the little corners. And, you know, like mostly you have gray walls or white walls and having a bit of splash of green or...
I mean, even the newbies can grow it, so...
Yeah, and it also... The thing about Monsteras is, because it grows up, and especially with deliciosa, as we're talking about now...
Covers big surfaces.
Yeah,
and it's forgiving.
It's very bulky. It kind of makes that particular corner... I'm just thinking about the Monstera that I have on the entertainment unit next to my TV, and it kind of... It actually... Because our TV is on the wall, it kind of fills that piece of wall in between the shelf and the TV. And I feel like it looks really nice there. So yeah, I do agree with that statement, Sasha.
Yeah. And our interiors, as we have gotten into the craze of plants, have flourished, I would say, as we added the splashes of green.
Mm-hmm.
And COVID-19 lockdown has been a lot easier to deal with if you have a lot of plants in your house.
I remember because I was working at that box store during COVID-19, the first lockdown, and we were actually, because at some point the online sales were allowed and people just went crazy for house plants. So we were working because I'm a landscape architect, but because I couldn't go and visit people, I was helping out in the shop, and then we were just selling so many house plants. And I feel like the whole house plant
market was very under stress, under pressure.
Yeah, but I
the
feel
prices
like
skyrocketed.
The prices skyrocketed, but also I feel like the trend got revived because of that. Like everybody is into the plants, into the house plants now because of that boom during the COVID.
Yeah, currently, recently I have seen Instagram video, which is like, you are the millennial in their 30s who got plant crazy in 2019, and now you have 70 plus plants to take care of, and you are not into plants anymore.
And you're like very relatable.
Yeah.
I'm still into plants, but I'm not into getting more and more and more. I'm actually into the plants that I have.
Kind of chilled off. It was like very horror obsession, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Because everybody wanted more and one of each. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you can't, like, you physically can't have one of each unless you have a botanic garden.
Yeah. Or a very, very, very big house. But honestly, it's not the space that sort of puts me off it, but the maintenance of them.
Because
just like sometimes watering can take like half an hour just going around all of them. Because a lot of my plants are suspended of the ceiling as well. So I have to put like a little stool and step on it to water them.
Yes, you guys take notes. If you don't have any more horizontal space, go vertical.
Yeah. Hey, Monsteros.
Yeah. And the question that I've always had in mind, like, why do they have so many common names? Like fruit salad bowl plant, Swiss cheese plant, Monstera plant.
Yeah.
Like, it's just literally feeding into different aspects of the plant.
Yes.
So, yeah, fruit salad plant. Thanks to TikTok and similar more of those platforms, we now know, as Sasha mentioned, Monstera fruits are quite edible and quite delicious. Quite hard to...
Hey, thanks to our podcast as well, because we have discussed it multiple times during our podcast that Monstera fruit is edible.
I think it's probably like at least every second episode we're bringing up Monstera. But yeah, as Sasha mentioned, do not eat it unripe unless you have a death sentence. But also I did want to mention that the fruit itself looks quite cool. It's like... It looks like the London... what is that? London building penis kind of look. Not penis, but corn.
I don't know what the name of that building is, but I see what you mean. Yeah. Kinda, it does look like a little, like a corn cob.
Corn in a cob mixed, with hexagons.
Mixed with maybe like a pine cone?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
I just like the scales on the fruit have like hexagonal shape.
Mm.
But yeah.
I'm just trying to Google the picture of the fruit.
If you let the fruit ripen, you will enjoy the combination of strawberry, banana, and pineapple flavors, which will explode in your mouth. It does have an inedible skin with...
Oh, yes. Actually, if you Google the picture, they kind of peel off that hexagon.
Yeah, it kind of falls off. Like what people do sometimes, they harvest the starting to ripe Monstera fruit.
And then leave them off like bananas?
No, they leave it like in a cup or something, and they eat layer by layer as the layers fall off.
That's cool. I'm just looking at the picture as well. It kind of looks like a corn which has skin, because once you actually take that skin off, it does have little like kernels inside.
If you know what jackfruit looks like, just downsize it and make it elongated like corn.
As I said, it is from the same family, family of breadfruits.
Yeah, just if you want to ripen it yourself, harvest it when you think it's already, when you see that at least one or several layers have fallen off, and just ripen it on your kitchen counter.
Mm-hmm.
Bon appetit. But yeah, do not force the process and do not peel them yourself. That doesn't make them ripe. you need to wait until they fall off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like the actual fruit fall off the plant.
No, not the fruit, the scales.
Okay.
Yeah.
Scales. Sounds like you're eating a snake. Snake.
Swiss cheese. Why is it called Swiss cheese plant? Well, it's very holy. That's the whole thing of it. Mm. Also, it is called split leaf philodendron,
which is another thing that probably confuses people because it's not a philodendron.
But yeah, Monstera received this common name due to the confusion of houseplant owners and resemblance to philodendron bifidobium, philodendron psyllum, which is also reclassified into the somewhat of phylum bifidobium as well.
They need to stop doing it. I can't keep up.
Even though Monstera and philodendron fall in the same family of Araceae, also known as aroid, mm-hmm. they do not belong to the same genus.
Mm-hmm.
The plant that you have brought before, which is Thaumatophyllum bifidobium, the difference between that and philodendron and Monstera, when the leaves on that plant drop, you are left with an eye-looking thing left on a stem.
Okay.
That's what differentiates it from one family to another.
I actually have never seen that other plant.
You have seen it. It's in the box store that we used to work at.
It kind of looked like Xanadu, no?
Xanadu?
Yeah.
Well, Xanadu is a philodendron. This one is Thaumatophyllum.
Yeah, but too much. It's too much for me.
The Xanadu is more of a bush, whereas this one has a stem, like a tree trunk almost.
Yeah. But it kind of does look like Xanadu.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
But yeah, why do we want to bring a little bit of nature into our lives? One might ask.
Yeah, you're being very American with your plants and ask. Not that we are like native English speakers anyway. But
yeah, like I've picked up my accent from watching British and American, so it's quite a wild mix.
Oh, mine is the other way, because I used to watch like a lot of British shows like
Misfits.
Skins, Misfits, yeah, and I think my accent kind of got influenced by it, but also we live in New Zealand, so which has its own accent.
Yeah. But
and we lived in Singapore, which has another accent, and we both speak Russian, which adds another accent, so
all the layers.
It's an accent.
We are just like onions / ogres.
Yes.
We have layers.
Yes, accent mashup.
Yeah, Sash, do you want to cover while I'm just thinking what I should cover next? Do you want to cover the care tips? And if I think that you strive a bit,
yeah, we'll struggle. How about I'll just tell you about my Monsteras,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll just jump onto it and like add to it.
So, no, you're wrong.
So I've got two Monsteras. One of them is, as I mentioned, the one that grows sort of on my entertainment unit next to a TV on the wall and the shelf, which is perfect spot for it. It is relatively close to the window, but it's not too close. And I think it is a big misconception that Monsteras only grow in the shade. I remember you were saying, oh no, actually, hold on, I have three. Do you remember the tiniest Monstera that you once given me? It was like $5 Monstera that big. Yeah, I forgot about it. It's actually like on my...
It's double potted.
Sorry?
I think it's double potted in your Monstera.
No, pot. No. It's actually in my bedroom on the bedside cabinet. It's about yay big now, but it's so far from the sunlight, it's actually growing much slower than the one that I have in the living room, which brings me back to the topic that it's a misconception that Monsteras don't like sun. They probably don't like direct sun as all the houseplants do, don't?
I mean, the rule of thumb for the houseplants, if it has thick, waxy leaves, then it means it can handle direct sunlight. If it's quite paper-like and quite translucent, then you want to
hide it.
You want to hide it from the sunlight.
Yeah. Both of them are Monstera deliciosus. I also have a monkey mask Monstera, which is Adansonii, but I think Sasha has to challenge that.
It is Adansonii, but there is more depth to it.
Okay, once I finish my spell, you can do that. Which is far. So I have two windows on two sides. One is on the sort of north facing side. We are in the southern hemisphere, so north is our sunny side. And the other window is on the east. Yes, so east and north. It receives the sunlight from both of them, but it is very far from it. It's doing well in terms of how tall it grows, and I keep trimming it because it just wants to reach the ceiling, which is very high in that room. But also that particular one, I think it's actually triple potted, like there are three different wines in one pot. The higher it gets, the more brown the round leaves area is. And Sasha had a very valid point recently that you have to keep in mind that because it is a hemiepiphyte, it can grow both on trees and from the ground. So as in the natural environment, the higher it grows, the more it uses its leaves to collect the nutrients from the tree, call it that way. It's not a parasite.
The roots.
The roots, sorry. It does not strangle the tree, but it just uses it to collect the water from the above. So in the house, if it grows just on the pole, and if your pole is not moist enough, it just keeps doing that. Because mine is growing
on the frame.
Yeah, it's like a small pole, but then I have like a metal art piece on the wall, so it is attached to it, and it grows further up, and yeah, it just does not receive enough water.
So yeah, just remember that the way your plants transport water throughout itself is capillary action. And capillary action is effective only to a certain degree. After that, it just, essentially, it's how much...
So can you explain what capillary action is?
Capillary action is based on the diameter and the water surface tension. It will pull water through the, like, a straw, let's call it that.
And gravity also acts on it as well. So imagine your plant being a massive, massive, massive straw, just a layman sort of explanation. And if you keep sucking on that straw, you can only go so far.
Yeah.
And then
at some point, you're just going to reach the maximum where the sucking potential is not as...
It doesn't draw any more water up. Yeah. Yeah. Which kind of brings me back to one of the episodes that we talked about, the most plants and the biggest plants in the world, and the Hyperion.
Mm-hmm.
How it's fascinating how it actually adapted to collect water at the top as well. Like the leaves actually collect water to maintain the top part of the tree.
Mm.
Yeah.
But also, Monstera is a vine, whereas trees have like a bit more... intricate.
Yeah. No, it's just something that I thought about as well. Yeah. Those are my Monstera. So Deliciosa is doing fine. The one in the bedroom that is quite far from the window is doing okay. I just fertilized it, so it might actually give me a bit more growth. But to be honest, I don't really want it to be too big in that corner anyway.
That's another thing. It doesn't have to be a humongous plant if you want to have it as a stable plant, just keep it not in a dark, but not too much light. And
so what would you suggest if you want to have a smaller Monstera? Because Deliciosas, they still get quite big eventually.
Oh yeah, Deliciosas are the ones that, like, again, went to Australia, seen the mature Deliciosa. The trunk is the thickness of my fucking arm. So if you want to avoid that, you probably just keep it in a tight pot.
Mm.
Keep it
probably further away from the sun.
Further away from the sun. That's about it. That's all you can do.
I'd still say fertilize it, but maybe like minimum fertilization. So it's just enough to replenish the nutrients in the pot.
You don't really need to fertilize it. If it doesn't grow, it doesn't use any fertilizer.
Yeah, but it still needs a bit to sustain.
Remember that the soil that the plants are growing in, that's their food source, and it has a finite volume quantity of nutrients in it.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So if the plant
How it will be wasted if it's not growing?
Well, I feel like it still photosynthesizes though. It still produces sugars.
water, oxygen.
Yeah, but
carbon.
I mean, it uses sugars to photosynthesize, so. I feel like you still need to fertilize it, just a tiny bit, though. Like, not like the full suggested amount for it to grow bigger.
Yeah. Maybe not that often, but yeah.
So what would you suggest if somebody wanted to have a table Monstera?
Buy a fake one.
Yeah, but is there like a Monstera type that you can have?
Oh, table smaller? Monstera, sure. Buy yourself a Rapidophora tetrasperma.
Nope. Just to confuse everyone again,
Just to confuse everybody again. But it's not a Monstera per se.
But it's not a table plant though, because it's still a climber too.
Yeah, they're all climbers.
Yeah, but I wonder if... do you know what? I think I know. Maybe a variegated Monstera, because anything variegated grows much slower.
True.
Yeah, so maybe a variegated... Yeah, that's a fun fact for everyone. Like, if you have a variegated plant...
It means it's lacking in chlorophyll. The surface area is lesser.
Yeah, so it produces... It does less photosynthesis, hence it produces lesser... It uses lesser energy and it needs lesser nutrients and it grows slower.
The baseline, it grows slower.
Yes.
But yeah, if you want to keep it small and it grows too big, chop it, propagate it, stick it back into the soil.
Actually, yeah, if you want like a small bushy plant, just keep in mind they can grow really, really, really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you've got a fancy chart there with different Monstera leaves.
Yes.
Ooh, that's really cool. Do you want to tell us a bit more about it?
So yes, what I wanted to refer to is a very, very old article published in 1977.
Oh, wow. Hey, you love those articles that are published like in...
in older ones. Yeah, big... As I mentioned prior, older articles have some oomph to them. It was
because the research was genuine.
Yes.
It wasn't like, you know, ChatGPT, tell me about Monsteras.
Yes. So this one is done by Michael Madison, and the article is called A Revision of Monstera.
Cool name, RACA. Eh? Cool name, Michael Madison. Yeah.
Yeah. This one is, this is actually Harvard University as well. So... let's dive into the Monstera varieties, because as not many many of you know that there are different varieties of Monsteras. Some of you might not know. So that's what we're going to cover.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, there are two types to Monstera that we have as a houseplant, which is Monstera deliciosa and Monstera borzigiana.
Is that the Adonsenii?
No, borzigiana is the one that looks exactly like deliciosa.
Oh, it has the difference in the joint, did you say, or something like that? Yeah.
I honestly have no idea. Like, that information was derived from my article 4 years ago, and ever since that, I have seen so many discussions that have been like proven wrong or. Like, it's a very controversial topic, to be honest.
So what you're saying is there isn't solid proof that that's actually true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But what usually the difference is, deliciosa grows quite quickly into a humongous tree, whereas borzigiana has a bigger internodal spacing and keeps its leaves quite small. With deliciosa also...
So you're saying that like the space between the leaves is much bigger than in deliciosa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, deliciosa is a little bit more compact leaf space-wise, which is going to be like 5 to 10 centimeters.
So I guess it makes it look bushier, but
also quite humongous and epic.
Whereas, what is the name of the second one?
Borzigiana.
Borzigiana,
yeah. And for a while I thought that you have that, but I have no idea now.
I feel like it's... Maybe the one that is in my bedroom is the Borzigiana. I feel like I'm 90% confident that the one in my living room is a deliciosa. Yeah.
So there is that.
So they look exactly the same, but
internal
one is spacing tiny, small.
And the growth pattern is a little bit different.
So I wonder if you'll only see that difference if you have two of them next to each other.
Because
I feel like if you don't have two of them next to each other, you actually won't know which one is which.
Well, the rule of thumb with deliciosa is that you get fenestrations. The first fenestration you'll get when it's a juvenile plant after the fifth or sixth leaf.
And with the other one?
With the other one. And the hole in the deliciosa, you probably will get it like 10th leaf. Whereas with the other one, you don't get holes.
Oh, so you just get the...
Get fenestrations, but not holes.
Okay. Makes me actually wonder now if the one in my bedroom is a
Who
not
knows?
Delicious one. Yeah.
Like, a lot of times, I do wonder if big box stores name their plants correctly.
Oh, hey, mistakes can happen. Yeah. What can happen is someone actually genuinely thinking that this is one plant and mislabeling it, but also it could be just actual someone who doesn't know, especially like, you know, during the busy seasons when they have a lot of team stuff.
Yeah, we all work into the best of our knowledge.
Yeah. And, you know, we're all humans. Mistakes are made. It's fine. Most important thing is learn from them. Mm. The more you know, wisdom from Sasha and Sasha.
The Sasha's with them.
Mm.
Comes with the price of alcoholic influence.
at least we have really fancy, nice drinks.
I will leave Don Sania Masteras to the last.
Okay.
Because otherwise it's going to take forever. The next plant I would like to cover is going to be Monstera Dubia, which I quite want to get, to be honest.
What is interesting?
Sasha, make one noise.
Sasha actually asked me to use my Latin for Gardeners book to see what Dubia means. And apparently it means doubtful, unlike the rest of the genus. So how true is that? Tell me, how unlike the rest of the Monsteras is that Monstera?
Well, to begin with, it is a shingling plant.
What does that mean?
Do you know what shingle, not shingles as in disease, but shingles as in roof tile looks like?
Okay.
So yeah, that's, I also sent you the link.
Yeah.
Dubia. So it's a shingling plant.
It
grows vertically and quite parallel to the tree trunk that it will be growing in.
Yeah, it's more, it kind of looks like it has suckers rather than like aerial roots. What does it look like, Peperomia?
It looks like Scandepsis. That's what I feel it looks like.
Okay.
It's slightly silvery as well,
It doesn't have the little serrations in it.
No, not until it gets mature. So after it, after it got mature, it will get very huge leaves. It looks like a shield, and then it will look a bit more like Monstera.
It is really pretty.
It takes a little while, but I do like the aspect of the shingling on it. I'll send you another thing that I think is quite cool. And the picture will be at the bottom.
So it kind of loses its patterns as well when it gets bigger.
It loses the silverness and just becomes a shield of greenness. Imagine Monstera deliciosa with elongated leaves.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. It's much longer, isn't it? Mm.
It's almost like a Dantonii.
It's kind of like a mix between the two, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is what you see between different varieties of Monstera as you explore them. Mm-hmm. Most of them look like Monstera deliciosa, and then other one will look like a Bipremnum or like a palm. And there are so many mixtures in between.
Nice.
I don't know. Do I need to say anything about Dubia? Anything else?
No, up to you.
I don't even know what to say about it. Like besides the fact that Dubia just looks bloody cool and it's just something different in your house. I honestly have no idea where I would put it, though. Like,
it's just such
a unique growth pattern.
Yeah, and also it's very arranged. The leaves are very arranged. So what I would do is have almost like a flat pole to grow it up. You know what
Which
I mean?
Which everybody is using.
Yeah, so you can actually see even the arrangement of the leaves and not just the thing. Yeah, no, it's really nice.
All right, and after Dubia, I wanted to cover Monstera Epipremnoides. Why do you think it is called Epipremnoides?
I think you said why. So it looks like
Epipremnum?
Yep. Whatever that is, yeah.
Nah, not really, to be honest. Honestly, from now on, all Monsteras will look the same. Up until we go to Adansonii. Oh, actually, I'm wrong. Siltipicana. Yeah, before we jump into the plants that look alike, the other different Monstera is Monstera celtipicana.
Mm-hmm.
You also have that. That looks like...
It kind of looks similar to the previous one, though, in terms of the colors on it and silverness, yeah.
But it doesn't have the same growth pattern. It has more of a growth pattern of Epipremnum, I would say, like Marble Queen. Like it's a typical vine that is going to be droopy and quite cool.
Yeah.
And it has silvery pattern, so it gives you a different splash of color on your shelves.
The leaves are also much longer than the previous one as well. Like, you know, it's more
elongated, yeah.
Yeah, more elongated. Mm.
I guess now I'll just... What is... Oh, yeah.
Oh, they do get little holes in them eventually as well. Oh, that's really pretty because it keeps the color when it gets the holes.
Yes.
Ooh, I like that.
Can
you buy it in New Zealand?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm sure you can, but I have not seen it.
I don't know how legal that is.
I just haven't seen it in box stores. I have seen it on Marketplace.
Okay.
As a private collector. Yeah. The next topic will be Monstera adansonii, and that's going to be a little bit more not controversial, but a little bit harder to differentiate between different varieties of the plant. For example, Sasha, Monstera adansonii, what is the common name for that?
Monkey mask.
Do you remember how I told you that there are three varieties of monkey mask, of Monstera adansonii?
Vaguely, but
So monkey mask is more rounded with holes, what you have. And then there is more elongated leaf, still with holes, which I used to have and it died. And then there is one which is elongated that looks like celtipicana, but still is looking more like shape-wise.
Oh, yes, actually, like, I remember you showing it to me as well, and it has more holes in it.
Less holes.
Oh.
Like almost no holes.
So which one has like the most holes in it?
Yours.
Okay.
So the thing is that all of them are sold under the same name, which is true, but also false. Because the one that is considered a monkey mask is... My gosh. This is going to be hard because I'm not that versed in this topic, to be honest. I think monkey mask, in my opinion, is... Adansonii variant Adansonii, and then the medium size leaf one is Monstera var lineata, and then the one that is more narrow leaf is Monstera clochiana.
There is also Monstera Adansonii var Adansonii.
Yeah, so there are three types. Adansonii var Adansonii, Adansonii var clochiana, and Adansonii var lineata. Can't pinpoint at this point which one is which. Do your own research, guys, because every time I do the research, every time it looks different, and if you Google it,
it's
all mixed up.
Yeah, because I've just Googled Monstera Adansonii var Adansonii, and all of them look very different. Like, some of them look like the monkey mask that I have, and then you look further down, and it's, like, completely different. It's, like,
And then you go down, and you find Monstera esculeto, which is a completely different thing as well. And then you look down, and you'll find Monstera epipremnoides, which is a different thing, but is confused between Monstera esculeto and epipremnoides. And then you'll find Monstera obliqua, which have made so much noise in the community 2 years or 3 years ago, because it was only available for...
Is that the one that has the most holes?
The biggest holes.
Yeah.
It's like small leaf with biggest holes.
It's like more holes than a leaf, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty. It's like it kind of looks like a cell, like, you know, like a little cell.
Like if you take your leaf and rip out all of the between the veins.
Yeah, the veins and between the little...
Just leave the veins.
Skeleton of the leaf, yeah.
So yeah, that's Monstera obliqua, and it was very hard to get. The prices were like somewhere in high 10,000s.
Wow.
And I'm so glad that it's more affordable right now.
Have you got one?
Oh, no.
No?
Like, it is still quite expensive. the thing is that it was only available for market through private collectors. Like,
wow. Is that a... Do you reckon it is a naturally occurring Monstera, or is that a bred Monstera?
It is a naturally occurring Monstera, very endangered due to poaching, commonly found in Peru.
Yeah, actually, Peru, yeah. Oh, beautiful. Do you know what I also find while Googling all this Monsteras is the different types of variegated Monsteras?
Because
there are obviously Monsteras that have variegation which are just random.
Oh yeah,
there are like Monsteras that have like half the leaf of a different
moon,
color. Yeah,
constellation.
Do you
want to
tell
elbow,
us a bit more
mint
about those?
So the thing is that each of the Monsteras of 59 species that you have mentioned will have variegates as well.
Yeah, which double the price pretty much of your plant. Triple,
like more like five times sometimes.
Yeah.
Per cutting, per one leaf node.
I feel like the most expensive would probably be that half moon, the one that actually has half of the leaf white and half green.
But also, it's really hard to keep it that way. It is because that's a mutation, essentially.
Mm.
It is hard to keep it growing that way.
So what you're saying is the rest of the leaves might actually be just randomly variegated rather than half.
So in order to sustain it, some people just keep on cutting it back to the previous node and let it grow again and see what happens now.
That's what I wanted to say. I can imagine people who want to sell those cuttings as half moons sitting there and being like, oh, a new leaf, what's this going to be? And then it's like, oh, shit, start again.
Yep.
Все хуйня, Вася, давай по новой.
So yeah, what are the differences? There is a Thai constellation, which is more of a creamy white / yellowish white sparks, speckles on the leaf. Usually it's not arranged into like patterns or anything. It's more like sky constellation.
So like little stars.
Yes.
Yeah.
The thing how variegation occurs, Monstera leaf has three layers to it. And each layer adds like greeniness to the leaf itself. So Monstera elbow has the least of the layers. It has only one layer left. So it's white.
Okay.
It doesn't have chlorophyll in it. Thai constellation, I think, like don't quote me on that. That's how I remember it from the last time I've seen it on...
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it now and you are correct. It's got... So some of the leaves, they partially have all the sort of yellow big blotch on them, but most part of the leaf have little stars and specks, as you've mentioned. Yeah, it's actually quite pretty. I like it. So, kind of looks a bit sick, but...
Yeah, it does look sick. And that's another thing that some people have tried to sell sick plants as variegated plants because of that.
Well, I guess, yeah, especially for people who are new to the whole plant collector game and don't know much about it, they might actually get caught in that scam. Mm.
So there is Thai constellation, which is creamy white.
Mm-hmm.
There is elbow, which is pure white, so less layers of chlorophyll.
As in like elbow.
Monstera elbow, like white. It's not creamy white. It's going to be white as your stark white.
Ooh.
And that one is usually the one that has the half moon variegation.
Oh, elbow, as in A-L-B-O.
Yeah.
Because I typed elbow, as in like a human, you know, the part on your arm.
Cringe.
Elbow.
Cringe.
Elbow.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, which is like kind of alba. Elbow. Yeah.
And then there is Monstera aurea.
Aurea?
Yeah. A-U-R-E-A.
Ooh, that's yellow, but it's got like lines instead of speaks. It's actually kind of cool. That does not look sick. That actually looks like it has patterns on it. Like Thai constellation does look a bit sick. But also this, the yellow that is on this plant
it's like
green
elbow,
yellow?
but yellow.
Yeah, but it's also green yellow. It's not cream yellow, you know what I mean? So it doesn't look sick.
It's cream yellow, white cream. Like Thai constellation is mostly like white creamy. Whereas elbow is white, aurea is more yellow, and then there is mint, which is more mint.
Like bluish green, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. But it's typically a Thai constellation that was...
Yeah, mint is not, it's not quite pure white, isn't it? It's like white with a bit of tint of green in it. Yeah.
Yeah, and to be honest, like you get the same varieties throughout all different types of Mastera. So you can get variegated Adansonii, you can get variegated Deliciosas, Brasilianas, Siltipicanas. I think the variegated Siltipicana, Stendliana. Mastera Stendliana variegated is the cheapest one to get so far. I think I used to have it, or I still have it.
Sasha has so many plants that he can't remember which ones he actually has in his collection.
Oops, I did it again.
Right. Do you have any final words on Monsteras before we wrap this beautiful episode up?
Be careful trying the fruits of Monstera. Definitely do your own research before buying very expensive Monstera.
Yeah, cross-reference and see whether that actually is the one that you are getting.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And do give your Monsteras a good drink. But do
they
not,
actually do drink a lot of water.
They drink a lot of water, but they also require quite
free-draining soil.
Free-draining soil as well. So, yes, stick your finger in the soil. Don't be a prude. If it's dry past your second knuckle, that's when you give it a drink.
But also, that's a good... You know how a lot of people buy those...
Moisture meters.
All you do is stick your finger in the pot, in the soil. If you pull it out and there is no soil on your finger, you need to water it. If there is soil on your finger, it's okay. You can leave it for another week or so.
Yeah, because with moisture meter, what I have noticed, it was showing me that it's dry all the time. And then I'm like, I put it under water and it was still showing dry. I'm like, fuck it. Actually broke.
With your moisture meter, you also need to keep in mind that it's only, in most of them, it's only the very tip of it that measures the moisture. Mm-hmm. So you actually need to kind of slowly put it in and see the level.
All the layers.
Yes, all the layers of your soil and how, where is the moist part of it. Yeah, because sometimes some plants actually want the top of the soil to be moist. Right. Thank you, Sasha, for your very knowledgeable episode about Monsteras. I learned a lot myself. But also, it's a cool topic to discuss because I feel like
it's an endless
everyone and their
to be
mothers
honest.
Have Monsteras in their house. Right? Would you like to wrap this up?
Well, thank you very much, Sasha, for sharing this podcast topic with me.
You wanted to talk about it. I know you wanted to have just the Monstera topic, and
I
enjoyed it.
I mean, honestly, just Monstera topic is just so. Kind of beat up, but it's also kind of
like, we touched different aspects, but also hey, we've been I'm looking at our recording and it's already 55 minutes and we've been talking about just Monstera, so
and we
have just touched the surface about the topic, so
it also kind of puts into perspective how much you can talk about each and every plant and how few we are covering for each of the plants. And, well, you know, that's the wrap on Two Tipsy Plants for today. Thank you for getting tipsy with us and joining in our plant loving shenanigans. We hope we have inspired you to grab a glass or two of wine and give your leafy friends some extra love. If you would like to help our podcast, feel free to follow so you don't miss out on our next wild and tipsy adventures. And don't forget to spread the word. Keep it green.
And keep it tipsy. See you next time.